From KTOO, I'm Katie Anastas with a look at local and statewide news. After days of impassioned testimony, the Alaska Board of Fisheries voted to change escapement goals for Chignik's early and late sockeye runs, which have been severely depleted for years. But the fisheries management will keep an important precedent. As KBBI's Corinne Smith reports, the board voted against the Department of Fish and Game's proposed changes, siding with Chignik fishermen.
At last week's meeting, the Alaska Department of Fish and Game proposed combining the escapement goals for Chignik's early and late sockeye runs. But the Board of Fisheries voted to maintain the two separate goals. Escapement is the number of fish that make it to their spawning grounds. Many Chignik residents and fishermen testified against the proposal. Some, like commercial fisherman Axel Copen, worried that it would harm biodiversity and hurt the stocks in the long term.
The department has also failed to model the possible negative effects of these drastic changes and the impact it will have on the genetic diversity, subsistence, and commercial fishermen of the Chignik area. This process has not been open and transparent, nor peer-reviewed, as good science must be.
Chignik's runs crashed in 2018 and have been extremely low since then. The state designated Chignik's early sockeye run as a stock of concern last spring. The department says the single goal could allow fishermen to harvest more fish sustainably. But that claim came under scrutiny during public testimony. University of Washington fisheries professor Dan Schindler.
There is zero scientific basis for supporting 105.
He says the runs are independent of each other and should be managed as such, especially since one is a stock of concern.
You run the risk of preventing recovery of that early run. So you may have interim within season escapement objectives, but without accountability, which is what occurred when you had an early run escapement goal that was explicit, you do run the risk of over-harvesting that early stock.
During board deliberations, Fish and Game Commissioner Doug Vincent Lang said the department's review shows that a single escapement goal would allow fishermen to maximize how many fish they can sustainably harvest.
I'm convinced the single escapement goal meets our obligations as a department to maximize yield. And I think we can manage discrete stocks. We do it in the Copper River, we do it in other drainages using single escapement goals. So I stand by the staff's decision to have a single escapement goal.
Vincent Lang said the escapement goals proposed by the board probably won't allow for the largest sustainable harvest possible. But Board Chair Merritt Carlson Van Dort says stakeholders had testified in support of foregoing harvest to allow the runs to recover. The board passed her amendment, which created new escapement goals for both the early and late runs. It also increased the escapement necessary to open commercial fishing.
And that's intended to ensure a strong start to escapement and enough to provide a decent and reasonable opportunity for subsistence harvest in that area. We heard in public testimony that, you know, these runs are very distinct. They are visibly distinct. They look different. They taste different. There's a lot of things that are different about them, and consequently, they're used differently by subsistence users.
Carlson Van Dort also said that Fish and Game didn't allow for enough time for the public to review what she called a, quote, wholesale tectonic change in the fisheries management. With help from Izzy Ross in Dillingham, I'm Corinne Smith in Homer.
A recent study found that two-thirds of the world's glaciers could disappear by the end of this century. That may sound pretty far into the future. But in Alaska, one of the most glaciated places in the world, those frozen landmarks are a strong attraction for the state's thriving tourism industry. And as Alaska Public Media's Michael Finelli reports, for at least one glacier-centric company, the end is already in sight.
Around the two-minute mark of their promotional video, Exit Glacier Guides founder Brendan Ryan can be seen walking effortlessly from dry land onto a vast expanse of ice.
We stepped out onto the glacier and instantly we knew that this was something that people would never be able to see again and probably had never seen before.
That video was filmed in 2008, and Ryan says in the years since, Exit Glacier has become much more complicated to access.
Rather than it being a gentle step up, it's literally a
sheer wall of ice because it's melted so far back from the sides of the cliffs where it used to be butted up against.
These days, Ryan says they often have to cut stairs into the ice to get up onto the glacier, and those stairs usually melt away by the next day. They've also had to lengthen their tour times and implement a number of safety measures.
The difference from the glacier over the past decade is mind-boggling. It's a completely different topography out there than it was, even really 6 years ago.
In January, a study published in the journal Science found that glaciers around the world are melting faster than anticipated. And at the current rate of global warming, 2/3 could disappear this century. That would have drastic consequences for sea level rise and for the billions of people who rely on that runoff for everything from drinking water to irrigation. In Alaska, the impacts are not as dire, but they're happening now.
I like to say that in Alaska, the glaciers are not ornaments on the mountains. To a large extent, they are the mountains.
National Park Service glaciologist Mike Loso says that glaciers are an iconic part of the state and are an integral part of many Alaskans' lives.
Many, many people in Alaska have had the experience of walking on glaciers, skiing on glaciers, snow machining on glaciers. They're a regular part of our lives in a lot of ways, at least for many of us. And that's changing. And it's going to change even more. Our landscape as we know it is really being changed wholesale.
Because they're so large, most of Alaska's glaciers won't go extinct anytime soon, he says. They'll just shrink out of the views we've become accustomed to. Loso says that many of our tourism patterns are oriented around where glaciers are now. Exit Glacier and the Kenai Fjords are popular because they're easy to get to from the road system.
And so they're hot spots for tourism, and we have businesses and communities that have developed around those hot spots. And some of those hotspots are not going to be any good for viewing glaciers in 100 years or even in 50.
Just how fast and how far the glaciers will retreat is unclear, because the degree of change depends on how much more we heat the planet. Loso says this new study illustrates that we can substantially reduce the amount of glacial loss if we reduce greenhouse gas emissions.
The glaciers of the future are going to be responsive to the choices we as a society make. And so though some additional loss of glacier mass is inevitable, the magnitude of that loss is in our hands.
Loso says the National Park Service is now partnering with the authors of the January study to focus research more closely on the specifics of Alaska glaciers. In the meantime, tourists will continue flocking to hotspot communities like Seward, where the harbor comes alive every summer with tens of thousands of people eager to see the glaciers and wildlife of Kenai Fjords National Park. Kirsten McNeil is the marketing manager for Major Marine Tours. She says the company hasn't started planning for a future without tidewater glaciers, but viewing them is a vital part of their business.
We would have to change our entire operation as far as where we go, the routes we take, what we're telling passengers we see. I believe it would happen gradually over time, but it would definitely make us change our operations and what we're promising that passengers will see.
For businesses like Exit Glacier Guides and founder Brendan Ryan, though, the timeline is much shorter.
Eventually, it'll mean that we don't run our operations at all at Exit Glacier. And each year, we think that's an inevitability within the next couple of years.
Ryan says his mindset at this point is to not look too far into the future. He's just trying to eke out one more season. In Anchorage, I'm Michael Finelli.
The Juneau School Board will plan the district's budget around a moderate increase in state funding this year. The base student allocation is the amount of money per student districts get from the state. For years, that number has been just under $6,000. It's set to increase by $30 starting next year, but lawmakers have proposed increasing it by $1,000 or more during the current legislative session. Juneau School District leaders previously considered building next year's budget around a $540 increase, but school board members worried that was too high of an expectation. Last week, board member Elizabeth Sidden proposed changing the expected increase to $400.
Wherever we fall, we need to make decisions that can be malleable to whatever the change ends up being.
School board member Emil Mackey thought even $400 was too high. He said the district should play it safe, considering Governor Mike Dunleavy's past vetoes of increases to education funding.
If this fails, not only will all of us look like the laughing stock of Alaska, individually and collectively. But it will also lead to very rapid and catastrophic cuts.
The board ultimately decided to plan for an increase of 400.